conversation cussing and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Son of a gun, they done it again. Oh, really? I got up this morning. It was going to be a fairly ordinary morning. I had a radio interview scheduled with the Jack Gravely Show out of Richmond. And I also realized along the way last night that I had to go into the clinic this morning for bargain blood work Tuesday, which meant that I had to be nihil peros after midnight. No big deal. So, got up at 7 this morning, woke up, didn't have coffee, went on down to the doctor's office, gave up 3 test tubes of blood. Came back home, prepped for the interview that I was doing, planned on the fact that Dr. Bill O'Brien was going to go at 3 instead of 4 today, so that's why he ended at 5 instead of 6, and had some writing I needed to do, and thus began to type. And then, son of a gun, lo and behold, they done it again. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That is where you'll find, among other things, the access to the chat room. Jump right in. It's a merry, merry time. It truly is. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. You'll also find the Listen Live button. And you'll see on the main page the rotating stories that we find to be most compelling and most interesting for any given day. You'll also find the PayPal button. The PayPal button is how we keep this whole thing going. Simply put, this is not advertiser-supported radio. This is listener-supported radio. And we closed the program last night at a $110 deficit. Thanks to Linda and Dennis and Sandra. That is now only a $40 deficit. So our fundraising goal for the evening is $190. $190, 19 folks, 10 bucks apiece. 38 folks at 5 bucks apiece and a number of permutations in between. That's a lot better than it was. $190, I think we can muster. At least I hope we can. But like I said, son of a gun, they did it again. So there I am, typing, writing, working. And all of a sudden, my social media, my Facebook, my email lights up. Yeah, really, they've done it again. Only this time, instead of the stuff that's a component of toxic coal waste, this was the actual toxic coal waste. And it was upstream from the Elk River's confluence with the Kanawha River. At Patriot Patriot Kanawha Eagle coal prep plant. Now, forgive me for how sketchy these facts and these details are going to be. It's not because I don't understand them. It's because we are sort of hurting for facts in this instance. The best we know is that sometime between midnight, the end of the day last night, and 5:30 this morning, well, maybe I better go back and explain the process a little bit. So when the coal comes off out of the mine or off of the mountaintop removal hellscape, it is taken to a prep plant. At a prep plant, they run the coal through processes which separate it out from any impurities, things that aren't coal. Right. And in order to do that, they use vast quantities of water, and they use a number of toxic chemicals, not the least of which is crude methyl chlorohexane methanol, MCHM, the same stuff that the folks at Freedom Industries dumped 10,000 gallons of in the Elk River and managed to poison the water supplies of 300,000 human beings. More on that in a moment. So once the coal has been prepped, because you know I'm not going to say that revolting phrase, coal. Well, the liquid has to go somewhere. And the somewhere that the liquid goes is either underground or most frequently now into a toxic waste impoundment. A toxic waste impoundment that is unlined. There's absolutely nothing to prevent the toxic waste from seeping into the ground or going into old works or going into the water table. Nope. It just does what liquids do. All right. I just want to go through this really, really slowly so we get a handle on the manifest stupidity, pigheadedness, gross negligence, willful, wanton, and reckless nature of this industry. So it's toxic waste. And in this case, when it was moved from the prep plant to the sludge dam, it moved through an 8-inch pipe. The folks with engineering and science backgrounds in the Horn family commune are going to be screaming momentarily. So there are pumps. It has to be pumped uphill because sludge dams are quite often higher than the prep plants are. So that means it's got to be a pretty sturdy pump. And it gets pumped uphill into the sludge dam. Like I said, one component of this toxic waste is crude methyl chlorohexane methanol. There are other myriad equally or more toxic chemicals as well. There is a whole bunch of constituent members of the heavy metals side of the periodic table of the elements. Damn. So this stuff is supposed to be, because if you ask any Fran de Co or a spokescreep for the West Virginia Coal Association, where coal keeps the lights on, don't you know? They'll tell you coal industry is one of the most regulated industries on earth. We got too many regulations already. I've heard it said, your coal miner is one of your best environmentalists. Okay, it's kind of hard to say that without going, whoop! But I managed. So you would think with this over-regulated industry that has been the victim of an ongoing, relentless, remorseless campaign that could only be described as the Obama administration war on coal. That, by golly, I mean, jumping Jiminy, they'd be watching their gauges and their dials, and they'd have sensors on the pumps and in the pipelines and all kinds of, yeah. Well, the best they can say is that they had a rupture in a pipe sometime between midnight and 5:30 this morning. And that, yeah, okay. Look, I mean, what's 100,000 gallons or more of toxic waste when we're talking about the economic engine that fuels Merca? Well, it's still 100,000 gallons of toxic waste. And at least 100,000 gallons of toxic waste is what was released from the breach in the pipeline. And it ran into something called Fields Creek. And Fields Creek empties into the Kanawha River. Kanawha River flows to the Ohio. The Ohio flows to the Mississippi. Mississippi empties into the Gulf of Mexico, and it all just goes the whole way. Now, there's no way this is all going to make it all the way, even probably to the confluence of the Ohio, and because it's real heavy stuff, and it'll just sink to the bottom, so that, you know, all the toxins will be there on the bottom. If you were crazy enough to go scuba diving down there, you'd probably see some sort of Island of Dr. Moreau triple-headed fish kind of experiments going on, but never mind. But anyway, this happened at, according to the news, this happened at 5:30 this morning, and for some reason or another, notification did not go out from Patriot Kanawha Eagle Coal until 7:42 in the morning. Now, according to my always sketchy math on the fly, that's 2 hours and 12 minutes. That's 2 hours and 12 minutes, apparently, of Patriot Coal. Yeah, this is Patriot Coal, just like it was Freedom Industries. Make them stop. This is like language perversion. Oh, speaking of perversion, we've got some of that too. So it takes 2 hours and 12 minutes for the executives from Patriot Kanawha Eagle Coal Company to run around. Hey, Jim Bob! Yeah, Bobby Joe? You seen that number for the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protecting? Well, hell no, I thought you had it. Well, I ain't got it. You ain't got it? I ain't got it. Well, who you reckon's got that there number to the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protecting? Because honest to God, I thought I had it written down on the inside of one of them draw spunky matchbooks, but I think the boy done filled the damn thing out and sent it off. He's all the time talking about how he wants to be an artiste. What are we going to do? All I can figure is wait for the public library to open and see if we can borrow their phone book long enough to find out how we're supposed to call West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. Well, I guess that's about as good as anything. How much that shit's coming out there? Looks like a right smart, you know, that's 8-inch pipe. That pump may be pumping 2,000 gallons a minute. That's a lot of gallons, Jim Bob. Well, yeah, it is, but I mean, dang. You know what? I mean, look how much coal we could be moving if you and me wasn't running around here trying to find the damn West Virginia Environmental Protecting number. I mean, this is another one of them job-killing regulations. Damn straight, communists. So this apparently goes on for something like 2 hours and 12 minutes before they finally call the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection and go, yeah, we got us a little leaky up here. Oh, really? Yeah, Earl, I tell you what, them damn pipes let loose, you know, job creation, some of it got loose down the creek. How much you reckon? Oh, I don't know. I mean, what's 10 or 20 or 30 or 100,000 gallons among job creators now, huh? Yeah, I get your meaning. I get your meaning. So we're good. I mean, we've reported it like we're supposed to. Well, no, Joe Bob, you ain't necessarily reported it. Oh, come on, Earl. Well, it says you're supposed to report in 15 minutes on the 1-800 number emergency line. Well, hell, Earl, we couldn't find it. Jim Bob, I don't you remember I wrote it down on the inside band of your hard hat? Oh, damn! I knowed I was forgetting something. So the upshot is 100,000 gallons or more of nasty, vile, deadly, toxic waste busted loose. And nobody was watching. That's how come they said, well, it must happen between 12 and 5:30 because, you know, we shut off the pumps as soon as we seen it happen, and that was 5:30, and wasn't nobody having no problems at midnight when the midnight shift went off. Where was Cletus? He's supposed to be watching this. Well, damn, I mean, you know, we told him he's supposed to be watching it. Most of the time he sits down at the guard shack and watches porn on the internet. Did you ever see any of that? Oh, I did. But my wife found out about it, and she about plumb beat me to death with her tanning bed bulbs. Hell, I'm still trying to get back in her good graces so I can get me a new pick-em-up truck or maybe a four-wheeler this year. And thus it proceeds apace. There's been enough of everything is not abundantly clear about exactly what happened. They're telling different stories to see which one runs up the flagpole and gets the most saluting done. Another day, more toxins. And you know what Gert will say, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, Gert. You know what Gert will say if somebody suggests that maybe that stuff might not be good for. Well, every day, somebody else all the time saying that coal toxic waste makes you sick. And it did it again. And that's just one of 126 of these toxic waste impoundments in the state of West Virginia alone. Now, can I share something with you from the Department of Paranoia Department? I mentioned how many coal impoundments there are in this state. And I know that because there's a really, really excellent website that catalogs all of them. Where they are, how much they're rated for, purpose. Well, don't you remember, what was it, Thursday or Friday that I sat there and read off coal impoundments? I think that was Friday on the front porch, wasn't it? Guess what? No sooner had I noticed that we was having ourselves another one of these here toxic coal events then I was inspired to run over and see, well, I'm going to run over to coalimpoundment.org and see if I can't find out a little bit more about this impoundment, these sludge dams, where this stuff was supposed to be going. Type the URL into the search, into the address bar, hit enter. A little annoying Windows 8 circle, 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 round and round and round and round. Nothing. Until eventually it just timed out in 404'd. A website with a vast amount of data on it that I know to have existed quite well and fully functionally as of Thursday or Friday had disa-freaking-peered at apparently something similar to the same time that there was a toxic waste spill of toxic waste that was headed for one of the impoundments that was listed on the website. You figure it out. Curious at the very least, no? I thought so. And I've been checking all day. A number of us have checked it. We've checked it on different computers here. People in other parts of the country have checked it. It does not load. And I am sure that is strictly a coincidence, right? Gotta be. I mean, the coal industry, I mean, they're patriotic Americans. It wouldn't be nobody in the coal industry would run out and disable a list just because there'd been a failure at one of them, would there? On the other hand, you got your West Virginia Department of Environmental Protecting. And they put themselves out a little press release this morning. Inspectors with the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection are on the scene of a coal slurry spill in eastern Kanawha County. A slurry line ruptured at the... It's just a line. It's a line. Yeah, just like you use fishing line. Yeah, just line. A slurry line ruptured at... Because we don't want to call it a pipeline... Because then people would wonder why we don't have adequate regulation of pipelines, and that would kill jobs because it's a regulation. A slurry line ruptured at the Kanawha Eco Prep Plant, okay, near Winifred, sometime between midnight and 5:30 a.m. We're not entirely sure when, but that's okay. Because these are good, God-fearing, upstanding this is a coal company that really, really, really loves the Lord. But the thing busted somewhere around midnight to 5:30, and we realize that the difference between midnight and 5:30 is 5.5 hours. And at something that pumps at a rate of maybe more than 1,000 gallons a minute, that might seem like a whole big old broad difference. But it's, you know, it's all good for West Virginia, and it's all good for America. Yes. Even if a bunch of the coal we produce is going to Russia and India and China and the Netherlands and just getting burnt in power plants and so we're not going to get real upset about this, are we? No, it just sent an unknown quantity of slurry, and that's what it is. It's slurry, kind of close, kind of sounds a little bit like slurpy, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And everybody likes slurpees, don't they? Yes, they do. Sent an unknown quantity of slurry into Fields Creek, and we're not going to sit here and spend a lot of time talking about, well, no, workers at the plant, well, they shut down the slurry pumps when they discovered the leak at 5:30. Mm-hmm, yes. I mean, they shut it right down just like we want them to. I mean, we'd like it, if it's not too much trouble, we would have liked it for it to have been shut down as soon as it happened, not as soon as they had noticed it had happened. But, you know, these are coal companies, and they're very busy people, and they work awfully hard, and, you know, they're just like astronauts. Yes. I mean, just ask the Kentucky Coal Association. They are just like astronauts. So we're not gonna start playing the blame game, are we? And trying to count up how many gallons it was or anything. What's the point in that? Because see, these here's are jobs, right? Yeah. The spill was reported to the DEP by the company at 7:30 a.m. And you know what? That's right before the DEP even opens. So that shows that they were really, really trying hard to do a good job, doesn't it? Sure it does. Containment measures are currently in place along Fields Creek from the plant all the way to its confluence. I know it's a big word, confluence. That means flows with, okay? All the way to its confluence with the Kanawha River. Yes, yes. Now, according to a company representative, the facility does utilize a frothing chemical, you know, frothy, like the foam that happens when you get your half calf soy milk latte cappuccino. Yes, froth, like foam. Everybody likes foam, don't they? Sure they do. And so they use an agent that makes the coal all frothy, just like your cappuccino, okay? Only this froth will kill you if you drink it, but you're not silly enough to drink it, are you? Well, no, of course you're not. Now, the frothing chemical is called Flomin 110C, okay, Flomin. That sounds like pretty nice stuff, doesn't it? Flomin. Well, it's Flomin 110C, and I don't want you to get upset or anything. But the Flomin, it does contain that chemical that those bad, bad people over at Freedom Industries dumped into the Elk River. You know, crude methyl chlorohexane methanol. Yes, it does. It's got just a little bitty bit in it. There's nothing for you to worry about. No, no, there's not. Now settle down. Settle down. DEP, hardworking DEP inspectors, well, they're taking water samples in several locations along Fields Creek, okay? They're hoping to only take samples where there's none of the froth, okay? I mean, and if you don't drink cappuccino, or maybe that's too big a word, well, then think of this here Flomin and the froth. Think of it as like the meringue that your granny used to put on a coconut cream pie, only it's black and it'll kill you. Right? I mean, everybody likes meringue, right? Sure, sure. And so they're going to take samples, and then they're going to take them to a laboratory down in South Charleston to have them analyzed. And you know what? We do know one thing. And we know you're going to be so happy about this. There are no public water intakes immediately downstream from where this little old spill happened. No, not immediately, at least.
you see, immediately, near, immediately, right, sure. And just so you'll know, we're going to have a talk with the coal company, and we're going to tell them that they really should try not to dump 100,000 gallons of poisonous, death-inducing toxic waste into any streams in West Virginia, because that's not nice. That's not nice. But remember, everybody makes mistakes. So when we say here in this little old press release that enforcement action against the company is pending, we want you to think and understand that that means that if we find that they did anything really, really bad, that we're gonna punish them real hard. That's what we want you to think. But, we're not really. They're job creators, remember? Sure. They're job creators. So we can't be punishing the job creators very much, can we? Or they might pull up stakes and leave West Virginia, and then they wouldn't be creating jobs anymore. So we're going to try real hard not to overregulate them. And we do have a pending enforcement action against the company. That's where we say, hey, Jim Bob, Bobby Joe, would y'all mind cleaning up your poisonous, death-inducing toxic waste, please? Would you mind? Well, I understand that you want to blame it on God and call it an act of God and say that maybe it's because the pipes done froze, because global warming is a great big commie conspiracy myth to steal our Bibles. Absolutely, and probably is. But understand, nobody's going to get hurt here, okay? Well, I mean, some people might get poisoned and some animals might die, but nobody in the coal industry is going to get hurt. And we're going to try real hard not to make your little feelings feel bad. Because it's awful when our feelings feel bad, isn't it? It sure is. So when we say enforcement action against the company is pending, it's going to be pending for a whole long time. And, of course, if the coal company doesn't like it, well, y'all can just appeal it, and the appeal board will understand, and they'll probably cut your fine down right next to nothing, no matter who you poison. Isn't that great? Yeah, you know what? Come Friday after that, someday we'll laugh at this, and it may be sooner than... But on Friday, maybe we can get together at a karaoke bar and we can sing God Bless the USA by that patriotic Merc and Lee Greenwood. Okay? So that's our press release from the West Virginia Department of Environmental from the people who protect the coal, right? That's our press release, and we sure do hope you're not going to say much about it, because, well, how would you feel if you poisoned a whole bunch of countryside and maybe poisoned some people and a whole bunch of animals, and people just thought that you were awful for doing it? See, it's a little different when the shoe's on the other foot, isn't it? It sure is. So let's just let the Patriot Kanawha Eagle people do what they do best, and that is look the other way while this stuff runs out into the river. And then we'll say it's all been cleaned up, and we'll use big words like remediated. And then we'll probably issue, like I said, some fines, but y'all can get those overturned, because we don't want to interfere with you and your job creating here in West Virginia. Good. Nothing to worry about.
Fritz in Arkansas noting, that frothing milk toast has taken over Bob's voice and it's scary.
It is scary.
See, we tried to point out that coal slurry is toxic, and that's just another one of those things that good old Joe Manchin doesn't want to acknowledge. Or Gert, or Shelley Moore Capetoe, or David McKinley, or Nick Joe Rahal. I got a Nick Joe Rahal quote for you that'll make you run screaming into the night. I did. Oh, stop it, Bob. Stop with the voice. He has learned to use the milquetoast voice without the weirding module. So in Al Jazeera's article about the House of Representatives field hearing that was held in Charleston yesterday, some darn fine and interesting quotating going on. You'll have to forgive me. I almost hypnotized myself with that voice. What we need is a little cold water on the back of the neck and the code. That's what we need. My congressman, Nick Joe Rahal, who has done such spectacular things in the past as jumping out of a perfectly good airplane in order to prove how devoted he was to the friends of coal, well, he got to offer some remarks at the field hearing by the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, of which he is, by the way, a member. Yeah. Funny how it works out. When it came out that the Freedom Industries boys had been invited to come and offer some informal comments to these members of the House of Representatives and didn't show up, because, you know, the zombie toxic dog ate their invitation. Well, that got under Nick Joe Rahal's skin. And I've got the Al Jazeera America article in front of me about the hearing, and apparently Nick Joe Rahal, well, he's apparently not fond of Freedom Industries anymore, even though they used to be big job creators. Wow, that voice sticks with you after a while, doesn't it? Maybe I'll go out and do some jumping jacks in the frozen cold and it'll wake me up a little bit. No, when he found out that the Freedom Industries boys were no-shows, Congressman Nick Joe Rahal said, "There is an odor emanating from Freedom Industries, and it's not licorice. We cannot legislate morality into the billionaire corporate courtrooms where shell game playing abounds." That's what this is about now, legislating morality? Man, I read that quote and I laughed till I stopped. Because, see, Nick Joe Rahal was talking about the very industry which he so loves. Sort out that sentence for me, would you please? Because I'm having a hard time. We cannot legislate morality into the billionaire corporate courtrooms. Wouldn't that be boardrooms? I didn't know. Well, they really do. They kind of have their very own corporate courtrooms, don't they, since Citizens United. I think Nick Joe said more than he maybe meant to. where shell game playing abounds. Well, if anybody would know about corporate boardrooms playing or courtrooms playing shell games, it would be Nick Joe Rahal. Because his beloved coal industry is nothing but one great big shell game. It's a con from start to finish. And see, there are some of us who would like to at least try to legislate some morality into these sorry sons of bitches who do things like let 100,000 gallons of toxic waste go into the countryside. Because they can talk about how they're trying to contain it and mitigate it and whatnot. It ain't going to happen. And I take no pleasure in the fact that this verifies everything that I've been saying for the last month. Insofar as I have repeatedly said that the freedom industries disaster only sort of points a finger at a larger disaster, one that has taken place all over the little communities that are plagued with coal operations. I have said it repeatedly that this stuff, this methyl cyclohexane methanol and a whole bunch of other nastier stuff, is all over central Appalachia. It's probably in Illinois. It's anywhere there's coal being produced, it's there. Irish Dave gets it. Email. I love the smell of licorice in the morning. It smells like deregulation. And if I say it's safe to deregulate, it's safe to deregulate. So, yeah, it's happened again. And you know what? It's going to happen again after that. I was doing some research earlier this afternoon, and I found a remark, I think from 2009, maybe 2010, from the Office of Surface Mining, the OSM, which is a subspecies of the Department of the Interior. Now, the Office of Surface Mining, while not quite as fawningly embarrassing as the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection, is not known for being devilishly, brutishly hard on the coal industry. But even they said that the penalties which the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection impose, they said those penalties are so weak as to be no deterrent at all against grossly negligent misconduct. That means that a coal company will do this, get away with it, and get popped for a $5,000 or $10,000 fine and think, that's okay, that's the cost of doing business, and we'll write it off on our taxes, and we don't pay much in the way of those anyway. Yeah, they did it again. Just like they've done it before. I keep thinking about that line from the unofficial anthem of the state of West Virginia, Country Roads, a song whose geographic references prove that the people who wrote the song had never gotten within a country road mile of West Virginia. Shenandoah Valley, excuse me? That's Virginia. But there's that line in there about stranger to blue water. I don't think that John Denver and Bill and Taffy Danoff meant that way, but Lordy, the goddess of irony is all over it. Stranger to Blue Water? Okay. How about Stranger to Clean Water? Check. Stranger to anything that isn't black water? Check. Stranger to fish floating belly up in local streams? No stranger at all. Tim from L.A. with an email. You got nothing to fear but fear itself. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, such as emphysema, kidney disease, cancer, 20,000 heart attacks every year, 200,000 asthma attacks a year, 13,000 premature deaths every year. Back in the 60s to 70s in Los Angeles, when I was growing up, Tim says, we had similar conditions. It was so bad that the city nearly ordered us not to drive. Then the city decided to clean up and regulate industry, and Los Angeles' smog level dropped drastically, and the air is no longer that infamous gray haze we saw in the past. I remember I could not breathe, and asthma was a part of my life. I longed for winter because the rain would clean the air. And then came the acid rain. Well, 40 years later, Tim says, our city's doing fine. Industry remained that followed the city's regulation, and my asthma's gone. If West Virginia does what California did, yes, you may lose a few industries, but the growth of green jobs will make West Virginia a strong competitive state. Look at L.A. Oh, for heaven's sakes, Tim, if you said that somewhere around here, they'd run you out of town on a rail. They don't want to be like no California. I mean, that bunch of weirdos out there, California. Really, they talk like that. I'm sorry. I don't feel that way, but you'd be surprised the number of people who do. I'm just a little disturbed. At the way this is playing out. I mean, we know these things are going to happen. Just like we know that one of these days, one of these multi-billion gallon sludge impoundments is going to go. This is the stuff of nightmares to the people who are trying to argue in favor of human rights for people in Appalachia. We just passed a couple of years ago this month, and we passed the 40th anniversary of the Buffalo Creek disaster. And it's a horror to even contemplate, to behold. And yet, you know, Earth being Earth, designs being designs, flaws being flaws, you know it's going to happen sooner or later. And what a nightmare that will be. A living one that you can't wake up from. And the coal company will say, act to God. And CNN will stick a camera in somebody's face. Will say, well, it's just dangerous living in coal country. Just a little reminder today that more's coming. More's always coming. but the little look on the bright side, none of this is headed for, none of this is immediately headed for a public water intake. I guess we're just, yay, yippee. Well, that's okay then. It's 100,000 gallons of stuff that can kill you. In parts per millions or parts per billion. I mean, that's the real live reality. If you've been a fly on the wall in the governor's office today, you probably would have heard Gert hollering, God damn it! Really? Didn't we tell them to be extra careful for a little while till we got the heat off of them? I mean, what in the hell did I go out there and say this is not about coal industry? For if they were just going, oh. But see, he can't call them up and bitch at them because they'll just tell him to shut them up. That he's done. Email coming in from Shorty in L.A. And it's reminiscent of something I've been saying for a while. Comes from a website called Red Flag News.